Okay, I need you two guys. I need you looking for Joseph of Arimathea. I need you looking for a guy named Nicodemus. I'm not sure where he's from, probably somewhere, maybe even here in Jerusalem. But these are the guys that they said buried this man named Jesus. So I need you to find them. I need you to locate the tomb. I need statements. I need documents. I need anything you can get me on these two guys. All right, y'all take off. I need you. And why don't you take these guys with you here? Y'all go find the guards that were there at the tomb. I need statements. I need everything because I'm not sure we know exactly what happened here. Squeeze these guys if you need to. There's always one or two that are real scared they're going to get in trouble. So if you need to, put a little pressure on them, squeeze them a little bit. I need facts. I need statements. I need to know what happened because I don't believe what I'm being told. Hey, I need you guys over here. Find a lady named Mary. She comes from the little village of Magdala. And I want you to find out from her because I'm hearing reports that she's all over Jerusalem this morning telling people that this man named Jesus who we're trying to examine the body and this crime and everything else, she's telling people that he's alive and he's got the whole city in an uproar. The people are running around screaming and yelling. Everybody's going nuts. And so I need y'all to get busy really quick. The rest of you guys over here, I need you to scatter out. Everybody's leaving town. Passover's over, and they're headed back to their hometowns. They're going to be leaving early this morning to beat the heat. So I need us to work quick. I need you to work quick. We need answers. We need statements. Give me something as quick as you can, all right? Come on, let's go. Hey, thanks for coming. Well, if things sound like they're just a little bit up in the air this morning, I think you could say that. Well, this morning started out rough. I wanted to be the first in the line. You know, town comes alive at sunup. So I was at the governor's palace at 6 o'clock. I needed to see the governor this morning, and so I was there at 6 o'clock. I wanted to get in and get out as quickly as possible, but I show up and I walk in to his palace, and it's just full of people. 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's full of people. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, the rabbis, everybody's there, and they're arguing, and they're shouting, and I can't tell what's going on, but I just stand there and watch it for a little bit and get a little bit of tension going on here, and all of a sudden, one of these guys says, can I help you with something? Well, I wasn't really appreciative of his attitude, but I said, yes, I'm with the FBI and I need to see the governor if I could, please. I need to get his permission. I need to get access to the body of one of these men that was crucified right before Passover. And we need to examine the body. That's kind of the next step in our investigation. And as soon as I said that, all the yap, 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 yap that's going on, I mean, it instantly stopped. I mean, just poof, it was done. And all of a sudden now, every eyeball is right here. You think I'm a little bit weirded out by that? That'd be easy to say, yeah? And it just got quiet and really uncomfortable. And I kept looking around and nobody would say anything. Nobody was moving. I didn't know what to do. And as I was about to kind of ask permission again, one of the religious leaders stepped forward and he said, sir, we can't give you permission to do that. Huh. Really? What do you mean you can't give me permission to do that? I'm with the FBI, and I have the authority to examine a body who is suspected of being part of a murderer, and I want to do that. And I also have the authority, sir, that if I need to perform an autopsy, I have the authority to do that. And so if it's paperwork you need, I've got all the forms. They're already filled out. I can get you whatever paper, whatever document you need, but I need to see that body, and that's why I'm here. And so I need to get permission. Silence. Nothing. And finally, this same little guy looks at me and says, "You cannot see the body." Well, that was just the attitude, just those words, like, you know, who does he think he is? Okay, so I'm about to go over your head because you don't live here. This is the governor's palace, and I need his permission and not yours. And boy, I was about ready to just, it was about to get ugly here real quick because, man, my blood pressure was getting up. I'm sure my face was getting red. And here steps out this guy, and he identifies himself as the governor's assistant. Okay. Well, finally, I'm making a little bit of progress here. Well, Mr. Governor's assistant, I need access to the body of this man named Jesus from Nazareth that was crucified right before Passover. And I need, here's the paperwork. What needs to happen for me to get access to that body? And then he explained, he said, "Well, here's the problem." Well, there's a problem, all right. You didn't have to use that word on me. It is very obvious there's a problem going on. "Tell me about this problem, sir." And he said, pause just a little bit. Place is still deathly quiet. And then he says, "There isn't a body." What do you mean there isn't a body? He was crucified. He was the very first one taken off of the cross. He died before the other two. And what do you mean there's not a body? How do you lose a body? What, is a dead man going to just get up and walk away? What do you mean you can't find the body? Well, the guards, he begins to tell me this story, that the guards came back and reported to them that this guy's followers, his disciples, came during the night and stole the body. Seriously. Stole the body. Well, he's holding that story. Yes, sir, he's holding to that story. Well, maybe it's just 30 years in the Bureau. Maybe, I don't know what it is. But boy, I'm telling you, I'm just smelling a rat here somewhere. And boy, just, I've got some questions for you to answer, sir. Didn't you have guards guarding the tomb? Was it not their job to guard the tomb? Were they not armed? Then why did your guards not guard the tomb? Sounds to me like you need to deal with the guards because they didn't perform their duties. If I'm not mistaken, in the Roman world, that would mean execution for every one of these guards. I got issues with the guards. But here they are armed. And you're saying that his followers came and stole the body? Do you know how absurd that sounds? What would they want with a body? What are they going to do with a dead body? Oh, I'm not buying this for an instant. And so I put everybody on notice. I said, "Everybody, listen to me. I'm a federal agent. It is against the law for any one of you to lie to a federal agent. So you might want to take just a minute or two and think about what you're saying. Because if you're lying to me at all, I'll be back and I'll arrest every last one of you. Are you listening to me? Think about what you're saying. You make sure it's true. Thank you. All right. Well, we're getting some reports back from our agents we sent out a little bit ago. And you got some. Oh God, that's great. More reports. Okay. All right. Let's see what we got. This is from the team that went out and they located this guy named Joseph from Arimathea and his buddy Nicodemus. Got statements from them that they went to Pilate. They asked permission to take the body of Jesus off the cross, prepare it for burial. And they even have sworn statements that they were the ones that buried this man named Jesus. And it was in Joseph's own tomb. It's a brand new tomb. Nobody in his family had used it yet. And it was right in a garden area, right close to Golgotha, where the crucifixion took place. And he even names some other people that were there watching them do it. But we've got, here's a statement. Here's a document that was written by one of the closest friends, I guess, of this man named Jesus. It's a guy named John. And this is what John wrote. And this matches the statements of these two guys, almost word for word. Now, listen to what John wrote in his book, chapter 19, verse 38. John says, later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Pilate is the governor. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews, not just the general population, but he feared the Jewish religious leaders. And with Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. Okay, he got him off the cross. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds, and taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen, and this was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. Now, this is what you do for all deaths. At the place where Jesus was crucified, Golgotha, just away from there, just a short distance, there was a garden, and in that garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And because it was the Jewish day of preparation, the day right before Passover, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Okay. Well, we're getting some progress now here a little bit. We've got documented facts. We've got evidence now. We know who took Jesus off of the cross. We know who prepared him and who actually laid him in the tomb. We know whose tomb it was. The tomb belonged to this rich man named Joseph from Arimathea. We know who helped him. We know it was Nicodemus. We've got the names of other people that were there who watched, and we know the exact location of the tomb. Oh, that's key. That's key. Hey, you guys over here, I need you to go. If you would, go right now to that garden spot. I need you to inspect the tomb. Get our forensics team over there. I want every part of that tomb taken apart. Dust it for prints. Look for DNA. I want everything there is in that tomb. I want to know what's going on. Oh, boy, I'm telling you what, we're going to get to the bottom of this because I just I just don't believe the disciples stole that body. They don't have a desire to steal a dead body. I don't believe that for anything. What is this? Let's see. Okay, here's the report on the guards. Okay. All right, a little pressure, and everybody begins to tell the truth. Okay, look, this was from a document that one of Jesus's followers wrote, a guy named Matthew. He was a tax collector for the Romans, even though he was a Jew. He was one of the followers, one of the disciples of Jesus. And let me read you his document here. And then we've got statements from some of the guards. Matthew wrote this. I'm sure he's talked to some of the guards. I'm sure he's getting this. He wasn't an eyewitness. He was not there last night. So he's just the author of some facts that he has compiled. In Matthew, it's in chapter 28, verse 1. Matthew wrote, "After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and another Mary went to look at the tomb. They were there." We've got other documents. "They were there and they watched the burial." They watched Joseph and Nicodemus place Jesus in the tomb. That's how they knew where to go. All right, verse 2. "There was a violent earthquake." "There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men." The guards saw all this. They felt the earthquake. They saw an... Are you kidding me? The guards saw an angel? This is beyond belief. They're taking this whole thing in. And then the angel, women show up. Verse 5, "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he's risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he was laying. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him. Now I've told you.'" So the guards have quite a story. The disciples came and stole him, huh? Yeah, I knew that sounded bogus. I didn't believe that. So we're getting true reports now that the guards were there when an angel came. And the guards heard this angel tell these two ladies, invite them into the tomb, and announce to them that the tomb was empty, that Jesus was alive. He hadn't been stolen. He didn't just resuscitate and walk away. He was raised from the dead. Look, it goes on here. Let me read you some more. This is unreal. "While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened." Oh. "And when the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money." Okay, they met with the elders, the chief priest. That was the meeting I walked into this morning. That's why it was so weird. That's why it got really quiet when I walked in. Okay, so now they're paying these guards to tell a lie, telling them, here's what you're to say. "His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep." Asleep. Guards asleep on duty is immediate execution. And they are going to declare that they were asleep to the governor and risk execution? They were paid off with a large sum of money. Verse 14, if this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the disciples took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Do you understand? That's called conspiracy. And that's a crime. The guards were paid to tell a lie. The guards made up fake news. Yeah, they were may have been the first ones to invent that phrase. The guards were all about fake news. They saw the angel. They heard the angel say that he's risen and that he's alive. And it's their lies that I was meeting with the religious leaders this morning. Oh. Well, when they interviewed the guards, you had a couple of them that told the truth. You know, they were scared. I think they were scared of this leaking out to the governor and him not believing the chief priest and them being executed. So they told the truth. And you know what? Their story matches Matthew's document exactly, word for word, event for event. Oh, we've got a report back here from, they did find this lady named Mary from the town of Magdala. Okay, she's the one that we heard about this morning running through Jerusalem screaming, he's alive. She claims she's seen him. She claims she's talked to him. She claims she even touched him. Okay, all right, here's John again. We've got a document here verifying her story. John, of course, he wasn't an eyewitness to this. Maybe he talked to her, but this is his account. He authored this document, and it's in chapter 20. Listen to what John, a friend of Jesus's, wrote. He said, then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over and she looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And remember, she was there when Joseph and Nicodemus laid him in this tomb. She knew exactly what tomb she was going to. She saw them place the body of Jesus in this tomb. And the angels asked her, woman, why are you crying? And she said, they've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've put him. At this, she turned around, and she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize it was Jesus. Maybe she was crying. Maybe she was still so upset and distraught. Not sure the reason. Verse 15, woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you're here looking for? Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I'll go get him. And Jesus said to her, he called her by name. He said, Mary. And when she heard her name, she recognized his tender voice. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. She called him teacher many times. She knew who he was. Jesus says, do not hold on to me, for I've not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, this is amazing, I've seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. She talked to him. She touched him. She tried to hold on to him. He was alive. She was a witness to it. And the report of her statements here matches John's account word for word. This happened exactly like Jesus said it would. Do you remember last week when several of his followers told us that for the past year and a half, he had been teaching the disciples, his friends, the ones that were traveling with him, that he would one day go to Jerusalem. And when he got to Jerusalem, he would be betrayed and he would be turned over by the religious leaders, and he would be crucified. But there was always another phrase after that declaration of death and crucifixion. I remember them saying, and on the third day, he'd be raised from the dead. But I never heard any comments about being raised from the dead. I think every time he mentioned crucifixion and that the Messiah would have to die, I think their brains just froze. They couldn't grasp that. How can God in the flesh die? I think that so gripped them that they never pursued, they never questioned, and they never asked the questions about this rising from the dead. But every time he talked about that, he talked about crucifixion and he talked about being raised from the dead on the third day. And you know what today is? Today's the third day. And he did exactly what he said he was going to do. Everything that he said would happen came true. Exactly. Word for word, detail for detail, exactly like he said it would. He is the Messiah. He is the promised Messiah that generations ago, several thousand years ago, God promised would come. He's from the royal lineage of King David. His blood was sinless. He's God in the flesh. And he was crucified. And the third day, today, he is back to life. He is alive. Mary's right. The whole town of Jerusalem is buzzing this morning because of the news that he is alive. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Our job's over. The only crime that was committed here, and it really isn't a crime, was an exhibition of incredible love. God loving us so much. Us, all of us. Loving me, loving you so much that he left heaven and became a man, became a human, so that he could come and teach us what God's like. Teach us the character and the nature and the qualities of Almighty God. But he could also be that Passover lamb that he promised he would send. He could also be that spotless lamb that was shed his innocent, sinless blood for us. Remember what he said? A life for a life. The innocent for the guilty. as our Passover sacrifice. Jesus the Messiah died on that cross and shed his blood in order to make the payment for my sin and the payment for your sin available to us. We can be forgiven. We can be saved. He came to make available to us a brand new life, forgiveness, purpose, peace, and best of all, a home in heaven one day when we die. Unbelievable. Are you seeing this? I've got it. The dots are connected. This is amazing. I don't know about you, but I want this. I want this. Now, I'm going to surrender my life to Him right now. I'm going to ask Him to be my Messiah. It's incredibly obvious He is the Messiah. But I want Him to be my Messiah. Have you ever surrendered your life to Jesus? Well, you know it if you have. I'm not talking about being a better person, being a good parent, being a good worker. I'm talking about He changes your life. He gives you a brand new life. Have you done that? It's a whole lot more than just going to church. It's life change. And if He's never changed your life, would you surrender your life to Him this morning? It's just a simple prayer of surrender. I'm going to pray a prayer, and if this voice is the desire of your heart, would you just voice this prayer to the Lord? You can do it out loud. You can do it in your heart, just wherever you are. It's a prayer that you don't have to say word for word, but just these general thoughts. Father, thank You for loving me so much that You were willing to come to this earth as a man. You were willing to teach us what Almighty God is like. Thank You for the ultimate show of love that You exhibited on the cross. God, You loved us enough that You died for us. Thank You for dying for us. Thank You for, Lord, allowing them to offer You as a sacrifice, for putting You in the tomb and 3 days later coming back to life to prove You're exactly who You said You were. You are Almighty God. You are our Messiah. And God, I give You my life right now. God, would You forgive me of my sins? Would You come and live inside of me? God, I want that new life that You promised. I want that peace. I want that purpose. I want that home in heaven. And God, I give You my life right now. Lord, I want to spend the rest of my life loving You and serving You. And God, this is my prayer of surrender in Jesus' name. Amen.